this is episode 72, and I'm a new person here. Manuel Lemos, as always, the host of this podcast. And once again, I have here with me Artur Sosins, that is enjoying practically the summer of Latvia. Hello, Artur.
Yeah, the actual weather is awesome. It's not hot, not cold, just right. So, episode 72, it divides by 12, meaning?
6 years.
Probably
more, because there was at least 1 month that I skipped because of vacation. But that's okay, it's still 6 years.
Quite impressive. So
we are here to talk about PHP, and I'm going to start precisely to give an overview of the topics. This month, we don't have as many RFCs as in the past month, because the deadlines for the steps of launching PHP 71 are coming close, so people are not so in a rush for
new feature submission.
Yeah, proposals. So as always, we are going to start with the review of the latest PHP versions, just to mention anything relevant. For now, we'll be talking about PHP 5.536, PHP 5.622, and PHP 7.0.7. Then we move on to talking about an issue and a vulnerability that was announced by actually the maintainer of Image Magic, which is an image processing extension that some people use in their PHP applications. Then we start already talking about the proposals and the process of releasing PHP 7.1. There was an election to choose the release managers of PHP 7.1, and we'll mention it briefly in this podcast. Then we start covering several more proposals that have been popping up. One about allowing to specify the extensions that you need in your PHP configuration just by name, just single name rather than final name path. It is to simplify the configuration and make it more portable between different environments. Then we talk about an interesting new feature that aims to make it easier to protect exploits like cross-site request forgery using special values that are set up in sessions. Then we talk about yet another proposal for having annotations in PHP 7.1. We comment about at least one in the last episode, so this is a new one. Then we talk about something that is not trivial to understand, but is to forbid dynamic calls to scope introspection function. Basically, yes, it is to forbid the use of certain functions when you are making dynamic calls to your code. I suppose this is for closures, but we still need to debate about it a bit. Then finally, there is a proposal for a new array function. PHP has many array functions, but this one aims to do something a little different that was not possible before. So for now, let's start with the topics of the podcast itself. First, comment about the PHP versions. as usual, PHP 5.5 has a new release that aims to fix security issues. As the recommendation is the same as always, take a look at these issues and see if these are affecting your applications. And if you use PHP 5.5, you should upgrade. Then there is also a new release for PHP 5.6.22. It's basically the same.
Exactly the same, I think. Oh, okay, there is one fix about my SQE fetch.
There is, I don't know if this one is also for security. So, there are several new features that are not related with security, because those about security are these ones that are marked as CVE.
Mm.
So there is a new setting in PHP ENI to use exceptions for the Intel extension, which is to provide localization support. And for PHP 7.0.7, there are certain bug fixes which also apply regarding security, but there are several other new improvements, not just security fixes.
PHP hangs when using custom error handler and type hint.
Where are you?
Somewhere in the beginning, like fourth issue fix bug.
Oh, I see. This is probably going to affect a lot of people that are trying to use type hint. Lately, I have been noticing more and more packages submitted to the PHP class site that are PHP 7 only. But what I noticed that some people just use part of the features, but like define strict types. But just define strict types do not make it PHP 7 only. So we have to actually use type hinting for scalar values, if that makes sense to your the development, so your code. And another aspect is that you have to define strict types in all files that you use. If you're the parent file that includes another file does not use strict types, it won't be the files that are included won't use the strict types. Arthurs, I know that you are not using PHP for a while, at least professionally. I don't know if you have used it in your own projects, what do you think about strict typing? Is it something that you would use in PHP or maybe other languages that you use, or maybe it's probably like boring?
No, I think for myself, developing some kind of script or a small project, I probably would not use it. It would only hold me down and would need to like take more attention and care and write more things. But as a library or PHP class developer, I would probably use it, because it would mean I don't need to handle with users passing different types. I know that I specify that they specifically need to provide this data type, and it should only work with that one, and don't need to handle all the edge cases. So in that sense, it would make it easier. So I guess it only makes sense that developers who submit to PHP classes use type hinting, because it kind of makes their work easier.
Yes, that's the, I would say, the favorite feature that they use. And because it's the big new thing about PHP 7, and I think they appreciate it. Although many people in the past said, oh, PHP is not Java. But in practice, when you declare strict types, you have to go through the bureaucracy of declaring strict types for all parameters and written types. You go back to that bureaucracy. But you need to realize that the advantage of doing that is that you can eventually catch bugs because you're passing incorrect values to the functions. I just don't know if it is interesting to have something like that, like triggering an exception at production time, because sometimes those bugs are harmless, like, oh, I forgot to convert this string, this number that is in a string to a to an integer.
Yeah.
Sometimes those are harmless, but they could halt a site using
that. I think hinting and winting should probably deal with that before deployment.
Yeah.
But and it's easier when strict types, of course, yes.
Yes, and of course, if you have your unit tests ready to catch things like that, you probably catch those bugs in development or not. I don't know. But okay, let's move on to the next topic that we're going to comment, which is about a vulnerability in image magic. Okay, there is an announcement here, which was done by basically by the author of Image Magic extension. I did not quite well understood what was the matter. I think you can craft an image that has some special bytes inside that may cause the PHP with the Image Magic extension to be exploited. I'm not sure what would be the consequence, because
the consequence would be allowing to execute any arbitrary code on your server, I think.
Usually it is that, but looking at the message, I could not figure what was that. It just mentioned what you do to mitigate the problem. So, okay, anyway, personally, I don't use Image Magic myself. I never had the need. I usually use the GD functions.
Yes, but, thank you.
Yeah, but if you are using Image Magic because it does something that GD does not do, you should pay attention to this vulnerability and do what is necessary to probably update the library. I'm not sure. It is really not very clear, and or it's either that or I'm too dumb today to understand what is this about. Anyway, moving on to the proposals that we usually discuss. Unlike in the last month, we do not have like tons of RFCs to comment. First, we are just commenting that the release managers for PHP 7.1 were elected. It is David Shafik and Joe Watkins. And these are longtime PHP contributors. They've been helping a lot over time. I think Joe Watkins actually contributed significant improvements for PHP 7. I think he's, I'm not sure if he is the responsible for the maintainer of the PHP, the pthreads extension. Anyway, the release managers, their goal is to manage the release, prepare all the packages, and make sure that everything meets the deadlines, and eventually discuss some problems that arise and probably take some decisions. And usually this is not a light job. This time there are two release managers, Usually it is just one. I think the last one for PHP 7 was Jean Pauli, but I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing his name right. So moving on, discussing actually RFCs, proposals for new features of PHP that are being discussed. Some actually have been voted. First, this one about loading extensions by name. If you have been ever configured the PHP ANI file to define which extensions you want to use, you may remember that usually you need to specify the path of the extensions, the actual file name, not the directory. There is another option to specify the directory.
And so you need to specify extension of the extension. Is it shared object or DOL?
Yeah, and the problem is that the naming conventions are not the same in Windows and Linux. So the idea is to just specify the extension by name. On the system, it will expand the name to the right file name. And let's try to check here. This is not yet voted, but I think this is useful. Portable configuration files.
This really makes sense. For example, as I'm working in a company that distributes software, okay, it's Node.js software, but it's not like we're saying our clients, you need to have Node.js and MongoDB configured and installed, and here you can install our script. No, we have an installation script that installs everything and sets up everything. And if someone is doing similar thing on PHP, that they again need to handle many of these differences between Linux and Windows, and it could become tiresome. So switching to the single common extension names would really help in such cases.
Yeah, I'm just not sure well they will handle if it will still work the previous convention. I think they need to be preserved, which would be the full path of the file.
Yeah, I see. They say that backward incompatible changes known as file names remain supported.
Yeah, that's it. So the next topic that we're going to comment it's quite interesting. It's about making it easier to provide some protection against cross-site request forgery attacks. Basically, you will be able to define some variables. Actually, I think these are defined by default.
Yeah, session generates them and you can take it. But the idea is quite simple. So every time server receives a request, it generates new CSRF, hash or value basically, and then next time the web page sends a request to server, it must provide this new value, and server checks if they match, and the next request again outputs new value. So every request this value changes, and on each next request the website needs to provide it. So if anyone could interfere and get this value, it could already be expired because the website made requests and stuff like that. So it's the proof. Is the protection in that sense?
Yes, that's basically the idea, is to help generating the tokens automatically, yeah. But you still need to include them in your forms.
Yeah, that's why it's semi-automatic and not automatic, because you would need to provide it yourself in links for URL if you are also using it for GET, or if you only for post, then output in HTML forms or in your templates, and again, so that value would be provided. But that's the only part that basically need to do it manually. Yeah, all the others should be handled by the session, PHP sessions. So they generate this token, you can retrieve it and stuff like that.
And so there will be a function to generate the token and another function to validate the token. And it will eventually take from both values. Yeah, well, it's common. I think that this is meant to also support get values in case you, for some reason, created a form with get, not post. So I think this is a good idea, but the voting did not start yet. But it's a recent proposal, actually, as almost 1 month. So moving on to the next topic, there is yet another proposal for defining annotations built in the language. And the syntax is basically like this. And as you can see here, although if I look at this, it's not intuitive. What is the meaning of this? Maybe it's a custom. A custom syntax for something that will be retrieved using reflection, and well, it's not easy to understand what is the purpose of this. Maybe the example is not extensive enough, but anyway, this is yet another proposal for annotations. I don't know what will happen with all the proposals for annotations.
Yeah, I think we already reviewed one in the last podcast, and
yeah, the attributes one.
I think syntax was similar, or at least as complicated as this one. Yeah. But I don't know, I always treat annotations as comments to provide more information about it, but to go that far, that maybe you need to retrieve them through reflection and actually use in the code, like type hintings and stuff like that. I always thought that annotations are more for IDEs.
Yeah, that's the usual purpose that is you use like PHP doc syntax. That's for the purpose, but annotation is usually for other purposes, not just documentation or helping IDEs. Could be also for things like, for instance, you define how to map a certain the objects of a certain class to another, to implement an ORM system. Like, how do you store the variables of a class in a database table, and other attributes that will not affect the PHP at runtime, but will be helpful for implementing ORM systems. And I think they are useful, but they do not need necessarily to belong to the actual language, because most people have been doing it without them so far. They just parse the PHP comments, PHP doc format, or maybe something else. And they have been doing without this. Having annotations built in the language, I'm not sure if it is that necessary. What I see that this is problem to say, PHP also have annotation. So users do not have excuses to use other languages, but I don't know if that will work just like that. Anyway, for now, this is just an opinion. So let's move on to the next topic that we are going to talk about, yet another RFC, which is not very clear to understand. I'm not sure if I got this right. So basically, they want to forbid calls to these functions And when you are doing dynamic call functions like this, using this type, I thought this is more just for closures. And well, it could be for closures because this variable here could be a closure. Closure is just a function that you call it. And the proposal is to permit this, but I'm not sure. They are saying that may result in unexpected scope modifications. For instance, when you use autoloader, and for this reason, also pose significant problem for optimization of PHP. Okay, this is probably something very high level. I mean, something related with the PHP implementation, but requires you to be aware of that. You need to have a higher level of understanding of these functions. I don't know, Arthur, did you get what was the purpose of this?
Well, as if you scroll down, there are unclear behaviors and specifically examples of array map. And I think, yeah, the main problem would be that if some function accepts other function to execute it, like array map, and it uses the function which checks the scope or which needs the scope or have some values from the scope, then it's actually hard to determine which scope is right, because this function was called dynamically from some standpoint of the code, and you can't get that scope specifically.
Yeah, sometimes you are defining it inside a namespace, but then you are not sure which namespace the function that you are passing belongs. Would it be an external namespace outside of the calling code or for the function? And they say that it seems between different PHP versions, the behavior is different. Okay, this is quite an advanced topic. Probably most people will not stumble into a problem like this, but okay. So let's move on to another topic. This one is simpler to understand, which is the proposal to implement the array change keys. And the idea of this function, PHP already has many functions to manipulate arrays. However, more and more functions will probably not hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And here, the proposal is to be able to pass an array and a callback function that will take the key and the value, which would probably be the current value of a given of that key in the array, and return some value which will be used to update
the new key.
It's okay. It's nothing that you could not do with your own iteration code, but okay, it's just a simpler.
It's actually could be hard to do it with your own code, because you can't rename the key. You create new one, you need to delete the old one, or create a new array completely with new keys and values from that. So I think, yeah, it's probably harder to do that. It's possible, of course, it's possible to do it in the plain code, but it can be harder to think of some cases. But I, for example, can't imagine any case right now, can't remember any case right now where I needed to redefine all the keys for some array.
Yeah. I don't remember any case either, but I think, whoever proposed this as needs for this. And what I usually would do is just create a new array.
Yeah.
Give the new keys. So basically, the function that is being proposed here.
But there are also some benchmarks underneath. So if it works faster that way, that's also, that could be also great for us.
Yeah. Okay, it could be faster for whoever has the need for this. But okay, anyway, it's always great to improve the performance, even if it is something that you do not use now. You may actually use it in the future. Now we are going to comment on the Innovation Award nominees and winners, starting precisely from those of JS class. Let me share the screen here. And we are going to comment on the nominees of March 2016. There were only two. And in more recent months, there were more. So it is, for now, just let's just comment on this. Artus, which one would you like to comment?
Let me comment on, let me share the screen first. So the package I wanted to comment on is jQuery Free Stable Calm and Rolls. It's developed by Agustin Rios Reyes from Mexico. And well, it can basically freeze rows or columns of specific table. I think many of you would be familiar with the functionality in like an Excel spreadsheet where you can freeze the row. So when you scroll it horizontally, the row, first row always stays there, or a column. And I think there were also screenshots showing that. So as you see, both of them are frozen, and when you scroll to the left, to the right, they will still remain here, and it's all in the HTML tables.
Yeah, this is interesting. I can understand how you... Well, I'm not sure if I understand. they you can freeze the columns, say they appear in the same position, and I'm not sure what is the trick. Could it be like changing the making it two tables, or it's
maybe other? Actually, maybe we can try to.
Unfortunately, there is no demo that we could take a look easily.
Yeah, it's hard to say, but possibly either if there are two tables or simply creating something that looks similarly to the table, but absolutely positioned above it.
Yeah, well, that's a cool effect. I've never seen something that could freeze either rows or and columns.
Yeah.
But, okay.
So, and Agustin got one ebook of choice by Pact for this package.
Okay, so let's move on. I'm going also to comment on another package. This one is a bit different than usual because it's a Chrome extension. Let me share the screen here. Oh, actually, I was already sharing the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. I was looking at the wrong window. Anyway, the idea here is that what this extension allows is once you access a page, it can perform certain automatic extension mean actions. For instance, if you go to a certain page and want to automatically click on the button that says that you accept cookies, like it is required in Europe, you can do that. Can program the extension to do that for you. So we don't. If you want to reload the page, you don't have to do that all the time. And this is a very interesting extension developed by Andrew Stoff that so far has been sending very interesting extensions, not just this one, apart from other packages. And
so you want to say it's not the first Chrome extension? There are no more?
Yes, there are more. Now you I wonder if he published before or after, but I think he published already an extension that handles webcams.
No, it's in next month. We'll comment it on next month.
Okay. I was not looking there. Anyway, for this, Andres picked a downloaded book from O'Reilly. And so let's move on and take a look at how are the rankings for the Innovation Award winners of 2016. So far, Anders Toth is the leader with 3 packages and 12 points, followed by Dantini Francois from France with 3 packages and 11 points. Then there is Juan Jose from Spain with 1 pack and 6 points. Evaldo Zmoniak from Brazil with 1 pack and 5 points. Then there is Dan Tan from France and Stefan Chapman with...
Why there was a pause on the Brazil? Did you not recognize the flag?
Sorry?
There was a pause before the Brazil.
Yeah, I was wondering if I was pronouncing this name right. Because it is not usual. This is probably, could be a name from somebody from Latvia. Zimon.
No, definitely not. More like Polish maybe or Czech.
Yeah, maybe. Because there is people in Brazil from all around the world. At least in the past, there was many immigrants coming from all countries. And as I was saying, Dan Tan and Stefan Chapman are tied with 1 package and 3 points. Pravin Sonawane from India with 1 package and 2 points. Then there is Agustin Rios Reis, Farah Adur Rahim, and Mark Rolich tied with 1 package and 1 point. Now, for countries, things are starting to get changed. It's no longer that same order of the same winners, because we have multiple people from different countries. So France for now is ahead with 4 packages and 14 points. Hungary with 3 packages and 12 points follows in second place. Spain 1 package and 6 points. Brazil 1 package and 5 points. Australia 1 package and 3 points. India with 1 package and 2 points. Armenia 1 package and 1 point. Mexico with 1 package and 1 point. And Bangladesh with 1 package and 1 point. So this is for the JavaScript Innovation Award. For the PHP Innovation Award, things are getting more crowded because in March there's a record of submissions, I mean innovative submissions. There were like 18 and some very good ones, and but let's comment about them. Arthurs, which ones would you like to comment?
So the first one I want to comment is, I actually never imagined I would tell this word combinations, but it's a PHP Game Boy emulator. So at first I was, what? PHP Game Boy emulator? I thought it would be just a package that uses PHP to launch a JavaScript browser side app or something like that. But it's actually quite a little more interesting. It emulates Game Boy games in console, and it looks something like this. So it was really interesting to see it.
It's quite innovative. I'm actually very impressed. Definitely. It's not trivial to implement that.
It's definitely innovative and really complicated. And as author describes, author who is Gabriel Couto from Brazil, he describes some people will ask me, why did you do that? Well, a friend asked me what PHP can do. So I thought about for a while and the idea came up. So yeah, you can do even stuff like that with PHP. Of course, we cannot demo it. We don't have a console here. But well, basically, everyone understands that it's some emulator of Game Boy games that you can run in the console using PHP. And Gabriel got one, the first one that requested the elephant mascot.
Actually, there are a couple of comments I wanted to make about that. One is that the elephant was sent to him, and I'm trying to find, because I thought I have pinned down the post in the PHP Process community in Facebook. But, okay, this is the one. Okay, now I have pinned it to the top. So let me, am I sharing the screen already? No.
Nope.
And I want to show it. How did it look? So this is the one that you received. Not only he gets the elephant, but also gets this stripe,
which is
with his name.
Personalized.
Yeah, and PHP Innovation Award, the winner, March 2016. And he already got it. He was very happy with it. Actually, there are some comments here. And with this, I hope this encourages him and others to send more innovative packages. Okay, that was the first comment. Second comment is that I already told this, but the following month, so far no winner picked the elephant. Why not? Maybe the elephant is not being noticed. That is a prize now. It's not a decoration in the page. So. Yeah. Anyway, I had to produce a new batch of elephants because I ran out of the last batch, and I hope they arrive soon. So I also need to wait. But anyway, you were talking about that package. It is very interesting, and I would like also to comment that another thing that Gabriel did interesting is to use Braille characters to plot graphics in the
in the
console.
I thought there were some kind of different characters that I did not see before.
And actually, they are. How many times have you seen the?
Very rarely, yeah.
Yeah, Braille character.
Yeah, because as you can see, it's not exactly. Each dot by dot pixel drawing, it's really drawing by characters, and so it's in Braille. It makes sense why I did not recognize them.
So you have to map the actually what appears on screen, what should appear on screen to Braille characters. So not only it was hard because he has to emulate the Z80 8-bit processor of the Game Boy to run this. I'm just not sure where he got the files for the Game Boy games. I don't know. Are these public domain? Maybe not.
Probably you can download them from somewhere.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on. We have many other packages.
For some reason, we seem to stuck on the topics here. Again, the next package I wanted to mention is Uxync, which was developed by Mohammed Al-Ashal from Egypt. And basically, it can run multiple tasks using so-called cooperative multitasking. It's basically when the callback function that you provide as a task uses a yield operator to pause some work and let other functions do some work and then return back to it.
Yes.
This way you kind of emulate a cooperative multitasking, and this class uses this yield. So all callback functions must have it. And that way you can execute all the long-term tasks in like parallel. And there is no price, I think, yeah.
Yeah, actually did not respond, I don't know. Okay, I also would like to comment on a few packages. Actually, we have so many packages to comment that I need to run. Let's see if I can put it in the right place. So the first package that I want to comment once I start screen sharing is this one that does something amazing. I had to actually study it to understand what it does. It is basically a package that implements a MySQL replication client. I had to try to understand how the replication works in MySQL. Basically, there is a server, a master server that replicates database change events to the slaves. And basically, the slaves have to connect to the master to receive the database change events. The amazing thing that the author did, Kasper Rowinski from Poland, is that implemented a client in PHP. Maybe this is probably not something that you use every day, but it's amazing and very innovative. You can actually see what is going on using this client of MySQL replication to see what is going on a server.
So basically it's a PHP client which receives all the database update events. So you can log them or debug the replication stuff and stuff like that.
Exactly. So, well, I don't know if you would debug, but at least could see what is going on the master. Because that's what the slaves do. They just pull information and update their copy of the MySQL database file. And well, that's it. And for this, Casper chosen a subscription of the PHP Architect magazine. The other package that I wanted to comment is also something that is not usual, but could be very would be very useful. For instance, when you have to set up an object and set also dependent objects, it uses reflection to determine which are the dependent objects and create those objects automatically. And this way you you can have the object automatically set. So the package is called PHP Auto Dependency Injection. And it was developed by Aleksandar Zivanovic from Serbia. And he did not yet pick the prize because there are other winners still waiting to tell me which prize they won. Moving on to the Innovation Award rankings, which are getting also very competitive. Individually, we have first Dave Smith with 4 packets and 32 points, and Christian V from France is getting closer, 4 packets and 30 points. Then follows Johnny Mast with 2 packets and 28 points, Kasper Rinsky, 2 packets and 24 points, Luciano Slovin, 2 packets and 24 points, Bharat Parmar with 2 packets and 19 points, Gabriel Cotto with 1 packet and 18 points, Mohamed Al-Ashal with 1 packet and 17 points, Dan Fram from Denmark, 1 packet and 16 points, Alexei Nemirov with 1 packet and 16 points. By country, things are already messed up. They are not like in the JavaScript JS classes Innovation Award that it almost maps one winner to one country because we have many packages from different authors in the same country. So first there is United States with 9 packets 61 points, then India with 4 packets 45 points, then Brazil with 3 packets 36 points, France with 5 packets 32 points, Argentina with 3 packets 29 points, the Netherlands with 2 packets 28 points, Egypt with 2 packets 27 points, Spain with 3 packets 25 points, Poland 2 packets and 24 points, that is tied with Italy. with same packets and points, of course. Okay, with this, we practically reached the end of this podcast. It was a shorter one than usual because we had less proposals to talk about. One last reminder, it seems that this month it's the anniversary of both PHP, which I think makes 21 years, and also PHP classes, which will make 17 years, and I think it's on June 24th. I will probably post an announcement because I have some a new project to announce, not exactly on top of PHP classes, but it's something related with classes. And I just wanted to mention this time, because next time we will record this podcast will be next month, so we already have passed that date. So happy birthday to PHP, and happy birthday to PHP classes. 17 years is a long time.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder how I can still make it, but that's also related with the announcement that I want to make regarding the new project that I've been working on. So with this, we reached the end of this podcast. Thank you again, Hartus, for coming. On my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.
Bye.